If you believe he's a prayer answering God, give him praise. Mountain for you, you give him praise.
With your power,
hallelujah,
you perform miracles.
Oh, let's clap our hands, lift up a voice of praise unto God, because he's good, because he's worthy, because he's faithful. He's a God that's worthy to be praised. He never fails. He does all things well. He never makes mistakes. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, happy 4th of July to you. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Lot to be thankful for. Doesn't take long. A matter of fact, we have more thanks than we have time to speak at all. If you're alive and standing on your feet, and you're a part of the great experiment of the American nation, you've got a lot to be thankful for. If you're born in this season and you live in 2020, you've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got 3 baby dedications this morning. You've got a lot to be thankful for. Now, that was when you should be out in the aisle shouting. You missed a cue there. Over here in Center Point, right down the parkway here, there's a curious feature that if you've wandered around in there and you've ever seen it, it looks like an Alabama version of Stonehenge. Kind of small. It's made of these little rocks that they built those rock houses out of, because there's a lot of rocks in Birmingham. But it's an area called Kilo Springs. And I was talking to an old timer back in the early 90s. We were somewhere together. And he said, yeah, in the 40s and 50s, we would hitch up a team and take a wagon and load up water from those springs, bring it up to the house. Because they didn't have, in the 40s and 50s, in this area, they didn't have running water in a lot of places. And it's just a blink of an eye. And you're back that distance. But I'm just going to tell you, all over the world today, there are people, a little mom with a little one beside her, and she's walking 5 miles to go get a bucket of muddy water to bring it back to a little hut, because they don't have water where they are. They don't have fresh water. They don't have clean water. I've been in villages in the Philippines where a lot of the children have cleft palates and they have birth defects, and it's because of the water. They don't have clean water. Simple things. I don't know how many of you just hit the tap this morning, didn't even think about it. We don't go, praise God, water. But if you ever lived for 6 months in a third world hovel and didn't have it, you might be a little more thankful for simple things. But we sure have a lot to be thankful for today. We have the most affluent society the world has ever seen, more conveniences, more natural physical blessings than anybody has ever had anywhere in the earth at any time. Praise God. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And perfect won't happen on this side of eternity. Forget about it. But we surely have a lot to be thankful for today. Can somebody say amen? Could you just once more lift up your voice and magnify God and give him praise and give him thanks? Hallelujah, Jesus. God, mighty God, we praise you. And we worship you. And we thank you. Praise God. So we have only one service here today. So if you're going to shout, you need to shout this morning. If you're going to get the Holy Ghost, you need to get about it and do it. you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, we're ready for you. We turned on the baptistry early. It's nice and toasty, and we're ready for you. But you can't do it tonight. You got to do it this morning. So this is the day. Now, we're going to dedicate some babies. Brother Lorenzo is in the house. I see him there, yeah. And Gia, I don't see Rachel, but she's usually right there. And, oh, she's on the back row. You migrated from the back row here to the back row there. And so we're going to dedicate Gia and then the newest addition to the Patterson family, Aubrey. We're going to dedicate her. And we have some guests that are with some of these families, and we're so delighted that you are here. And we're gonna go into the Word of God this morning. And at the end of the service, we'll call you down, and we'll have special prayer and present you with a little Bible for a little life that's just launching. And we're gonna trust that these parents are gonna launch these babies in a direction that will cause them to be blessed and fruitful all the days of their lives. Everybody say amen. Praise God. If you're in favor of little babies having a wonderful life, you ought to say amen. Yeah, so that's the job of these parents. So we don't really dedicate, Brother Jimmy, we don't dedicate the baby. We dedicate you, you know? Because the baby doesn't know which side is up or down or anything else. The Bible says they don't know the left from the right. So now we're going to trust it into your hand. We're going to read this morning from Judges chapter 17. Starting in verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed and spake of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand, from my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim. Those are little household gods. And consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. And in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If you love the Word of God and you're thankful for it today, let's give God praise and thanks, and let's magnify his name. Lord God, we praise you and we worship you. We thank you for the privilege and handling your word in this house. We pray your anointing on every heart. Help us, God, to be good ground to bring forth your harvest from the power of the word of God in our lives. And everyone said amen. Praise God. These last chapters of Judges are really bizarre. And there's a lot of bizarre things in the scripture. And when you get into really bizarre in the scripture, it is really bizarre. And these chapters, but it's like God could tell you something in one line. It's like that story of Abimelech and Abraham and Sarah. He gives you a whole chapter on it because he loves a story. God loves a story. That's what the parables are about. He could tell you in one line what that parable is about, but he loves to tell you a story. God's a storyteller, and these are stories like that. What he really wants to show you is what an abysmal condition Israel is in. And he could have said it in just a couple of lines, and you would have had the condensed version of the Bible. God likes to tell stories, and so he's going to give you these long, involved stories, and you have to ferret out against the backdrop of the Word of God. What in the world is God getting at? And he closes this particular passage out with, in those days there was no king in Israel. Well, Israel had never had a king, not by this time. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And people kind of like that idea. That's kind of like an American idea. Everybody just does what they want to do. Well, not really. You came on the right side of the road today, and you stayed somewhere approximating the speed limit. And you conform to the culture and the rule around you all the time, every day. You do it at work, and you do it at home, and you do it on the highway, and you do that because that's the only way we can exist as a culture. And so we have an American idea about doing things in an independent way, but we really don't. But in Israel in this day, there was no ruling, prevailing authority, and everybody was just making it up as they went along. In those days, no king in Israel. Israel had never, at this point, had a king. There was no prevailing authority over anyone. And what that signals is there was no shared value system. They weren't around the same common table, eating the same bread and thinking the same things. And there was no recognized dominance authority that you could come to and say, I can ascend in this culture and in my life by being competent in these areas. There was no dominance or competence hierarchy. But the house of God was still in Shiloh. And where this story takes place is around an area that will become the city of Dan. And the Danites are some of the principals in these stories. And it's about 100 miles from Dan to Shiloh. Shiloh's maybe 20 miles north of... Man, it's a baby dedication. You can sound off all you want. Don't think twice. It's all right. That's right. And you know what'll happen? It'll get sympathetic. Wait a minute. I'm talking to you, buddy. Don't walk out on me like that. All the other ones will start answering you. They'll start singing and crying with you. That's right. That's right. So it's about 100 miles from where these things are taking place to Shiloh, which is where the tabernacle is. It's where the law is. It's where the priest is. And in this day, the priesthood is pretty corrupt. But there's still a law in the land. But by now, we're over 300 years into the season of the judges. We're three centuries past Moses and Joshua. And the word of God has not been attended to. And the word of God has gotten very blurry. And people don't remember the word anymore. And there's no prevailing authority. And there's no king. And every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. We talked about this several weeks ago when we were talking about Gideon. And after Gideon wins this huge battle and war against the Midianites, then the people want Gideon to be their king and rule over them. And he said, listen, this is what he said. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you, but the Lord shall rule over you. Israel was a construct that was designed to be ruled over by God. It was a theocracy given to them by God so that everybody could walk, but under the rubric of the control and the mandate of God. And so Gideon said, I won't rule over you. And they're moving already toward the desire to have a king, but there's no guiding authority. And they've left off from serving God. And so now they're just this mess, this smorgasbord of all sorts of activities and behaviors. So our text, we start with this guy named Micah and his mom. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said to his mother, you know that 1,100 shekels of silver that you've been cussing about and fussing about and speaking in my ears about? I have it. I took it, but she has nagged him so well that he has to give it up. he won't keep it. He said, this is not enough money to put up with this nagging woman. And he gives her the money back. But he stole the money from his mama. 1,100 shekels of silver. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Boy, when I did something bad, I never had my mom say, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. She would threaten to skin me alive. She had a ferocious backhand. Her forehand wasn't too bad either. Sometimes she would just wade up amongst us and go to beating everything that had flesh. And if you weren't on the guilty end then, you were before, so it all just kind of balanced out across time. But she said, blessed art thou of the Lord, my son. And then she said, I had wholly dedicated the silver to the Lord from my hand for my son to you to make a graven image and a molten image. This silver, I was going to make some little gods for you. And here you've brought it back, and what a good son you are that you stole it, but you brought it back. And the moral, ethical terrain here is really kind of hard to follow. And you're wondering, what's in the water? What exactly is happening? And he restored the money to his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. A graven image is kind of chiseled out and formed and beaten, and a molten image is just what it says. It's poured, melted into a mold, and it makes this little... makes this little duplicate god. And the man Micah had a house of gods. He had gods in his house and made an ephah. And these are the people of God. And this is a tribe of Israel. But they're 300 years down from the crossing over of Jordan and the possessing of the land and Moses and Joshua. And they have wandered far afield. And now everybody's just doing. And you can make your own gods. And you can have a house full of gods. And you can steal your mama's money. And mama's not going to be mad about it, because she doesn't have a moral compass either. And the man Micah had a house of gods and consecrated one of his sons and became his priest. He had an ephod and a teraphim, and teraphim were little demigods. They were like little house gods that you keep in your house. I grew up in South Louisiana, and in the days of the steel dashboards, and they were very, very Catholic, and Catholic people have gods everywhere. Got them all in their house and got them out. I had a little neighbor, and she would come out, and she had little Mary God out in front of her house. And you say, well, that's not a God. That's Mary. No, no, no. That's as much an idol as the idols that you read about in the Word of God. And she would, because Mary would get all moldy, and she'd have to scrub her down and Clorox her and get her all nice and clean. They had a deal where St. Christopher, who was a little god, he was supposed to protect you on the highways. And so with the metal dashboard, clever people put a magnet under Christopher, and he could be on your dashboard. The trouble is when you took a curve, Christopher would quite often slide across the dashboard. And when you got to reach over and save your God, you come perilously close to killing yourself. And it's a dicey thing having gods. It's not an easy thing. Well, he had gods, little gods like that in his house. And he needed a priest, because when you got a house of gods, you need a priest. So he had an available son. So he made his son the priest. And so he's got this house full of gods. But the house of God, the word of God, was in Shiloh. It was about 100 miles away. And I just probably should ask you, how far would you go to find God? How far would you travel to find the word of God? How far is too far to go to be right with God? And that was a question here. You know, the Magi that came to worship the baby Jesus traveled over 1,600 miles. It took them months to make that journey. But they were hungry for wisdom, and they found through the stars there was going to be a king, and they wanted to come worship. But this crowd of Jews, in the book of Judges, the latter chapters, would not travel a brief 100 miles to go and find what did the Word of God say. Well, here's what the Word of God said. Here's an example. This is Exodus 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. You don't make images of God or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. And these are things to worship. You don't make any object of worship. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, had Micah gone down to Shiloh, he would have seen the word of God or heard it from the priest there and could have saved him himself a lot of time and energy needlessly. He could have saved all that because he would have known that you don't make false gods. In verse 12 of Exodus 20, honor your father and your mother. That would have helped him because he wouldn't have stolen the silver from his mama. And then in verse 15 in Exodus 20, thou shalt not steal. But these things had gone out of their culture. Do you know there was a day here in these United States where nobody had burglar alarms on their houses? Nobody had them on their cars? Weep, 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 weep. Nobody needs one on their car because nobody listens to one on their car. But what was that about? There was a time where people were more closely associated with the Word of God. And Brother Sam, you could walk right through downtown neighborhoods and areas, and nobody was going to mug you, and nobody was going to rob you, and you could little kids rode their bicycles all over this metro area, and nobody stole kids. What a weird idea to steal kids. I mean, my dad didn't want the last one he had, much less steal somebody else's kid. What's happening in that mind? And the place, Micah's house, it can't just be any place. Here's what the Word of God said. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you the rest from all of your enemies round about, that you dwell in safety, the Graveners, the Pattersons, and Sister Rachel. Now, you need to take notes because one day the kid's going to ask, well, what did they talk about when you dedicated me? What did they say? And see, if you don't take notes, you will not remember. You won't know. So you need to be taking notes now so that you can tell them what somebody talked about when they were dedicated to God. But here the Word of God said, there will be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offering of your hand, and your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, everybody, and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord your God shall choose in one of the tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings. And there shalt thou do all that I command thee. And so there was a place. And so you didn't do like the Philistines and the Canaanites and the Ammonites. You didn't have little groves and high places and little gods all over the territories and in your house. You didn't do that in Israel. But now they've lived among the pagans so long that they have not influenced the pagans as was the plan of God. And you know what happens if you don't influence the pagans influence you. It is inevitable. That's going somewhere. If you're not changing your world to be more like God, the world has already begun to change you to be more like the world. Let me tell you that again. If you're not moving them to love God, they're moving you to love the world. And it's moving in one direction or the other. I just need to ask you, what direction are you moving in today? And so And so you can't just be a priest. The priests have to be of the tribe of Levi. And they have to be of the lineage of Aaron. And anybody that knows the word of God, they know this. We have Sunday school kids that know this. But Israel didn't know it anymore. Their world had affected them. And they were drifting. And they were unfocused. And they weren't rooted, standing in the word of God. And there were so many things wrong. And it's hard to talk about what's wrong with these passages, because there's everything's wrong. And you hate to be a negative Nelly about everything, but I mean everything they do, every word they say is wrong, because now they're a blend of the Philistines and the Canaanites, and they still have some vestigial things left over from the word of God in their culture. So they're just this, they're not even good Philistines. They're not even good Baal worshipers. They're all mixed up, and they're all compounded of all of these different influences. And so they're not effective at anything they're doing, and they're wrong. And they've been wrong for over 300 years. And what they've done is they've come untethered from the word of God, and they've forgotten where the house of God is. Do you know that all of the Ivy League schools were Bible colleges? Brown, Harvard, Princeton, Dartmouth, Yale, Columbia, and the University of Pennsylvania. The only Ivy League school that was not a school of divinity was Cornell. They were all Bible colleges in the beginning. They're not that anymore. America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. It's the only place in the world that started with that in mind, unless you want to consider ancient Israel. So there are undergirding this country biblical principles of godliness and individual liberty, freedom of speech, private ownership of property. All of those are biblical ideas. But America has come untethered from the word of God. And America is less than 300 years from its formal inception. And we are a hodgepodge of all kinds of things. And we have not been successful at affecting the world to become more like God. And so the world has affected America to become less than God intended. The Ivy League schools now are advocates of all sorts of things that have nothing to do with the word of God. They would be godlessness and things that are anti-Judeo-Christian, and socialism, which is also godless in every form that it comes to you in. Socialism is always at its base and in its end godless. And if you don't believe that, read your history, the places where it's been implemented. One of the first things they do is they get rid of the Judeo-Christian principles, free ownership of property, freedom of speech. They get rid of everything that's like the biblical presentation. And I can hear somebody saying, well, you're such a judge, you're such a Pharisee, what's wrong with you? But I want you to know, you really need to look around and ask yourself, what kind of world am I living in? What kind of world do I want my babies to live in? What kind of world do I want to continue to live in? And do I, can I, should I have any effect on those things? And I want you to know, the answer has always been the word of God. And the problem has always been untethering from the word of God. And I don't know what you can do about a nation, and I don't know what you can do about a state or a city, but I know you can do something about a life. You can stand right in the middle of your own life and begin to draw close to the things of God. And the word of God is not even 100 miles from you right now. You've got access because of this glorious liberty that we have. You've got access to the word of God on your phone. It's in your pocket. It's in your purse. It's in your hand. You can find everything God has to say on any subject right there in the word of God. And that should be your first consult. Well, on with the story. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. He's traveling. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah. Now, there are Levites all over Israel because the Levites didn't have land as an inheritance. God scattered them out all over the land to help with the propagation of the kingdom of God and the service of the temple. And so this is a young man that's a Levite out from a town. This is not David's Bethlehem. This is Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, "Whence comest thou?" And he said, "I'm a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place." I'm just looking for a place to happen to me. I don't have a vision and I don't have a direction. I'm just out here looking for opportunity to show itself. And Micah said to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest, and I'll give you 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and all your victuals or your food." So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." Because there's some vestigial knowledge here. He remembers there's something about Levites and this business of worshiping God. And if I get me a Levite, then I get better legitimacy for what I'm doing here. And here's a vagrant Levite that has no direction, and I'll just hire him, and I'll put him on staff, and he'll be my priest. And so you could hire yourself a priest. And they have here this wonderful blend of superstition and religion. But you know, even while all this is happening, if you're familiar with the book of 1 Samuel, you know 1 Samuel starts pretty much right after these events. But it starts with a man by the name of Elkanah. And he's got a wife by the name of Hannah. And they go up to the temple. They go up to the tabernacle. They go up to Shiloh every year. Because he can't go all the time, but he's bringing his gifts and his offerings, and he's going to worship God. And Hannah is a prayer warrior. And she's going to be the mama of Samuel. But somebody in the middle of all the distortion and confusion, somebody still remembers where the Word of God is. Somebody still remembers where Shiloh is and where the house of God is. And somebody remembers how to pray. There's always somebody that's doing it right. God always has a people. God always has a place. God has a place here, and not everybody, even though Micah and all the craziness that's going on, Elkanah and Hannah go up to Shiloh every year, but that disintegration that's going on in Israel is very deep, and it's been going on for several centuries now. When God gave them the word at Sinai, it was an event instant. Boom! God gave them instant culture, instant morals, instant ethics, instant societal framing. He gave them everything they needed by the word of God. And so they could frame up and become the people of God so that they could actualize their own lives and the will and the purpose of God in their lives. Now they're scattered all over Canaan, and they never internalized the law. And so wherever in all the history of the Word of God you find somebody that is actively, effectively bringing forth the will of God and the plan of God, it's not because there's a book somewhere with a lot of rules in it. It's because those principles have become a part of that person's life. It's like Daniel in Babylon or Ezekiel in Babylon. And when everything is torn down and nobody else is their prevailing authority, they have the authority of the Word of God down on the inside. Let me tell you what's happening right now. We're going through one of the strangest periods of time we've ever seen in this country. And just in the brief period of time, these 6 months have held earthquakes and pestilence and civil unrest and all sorts of things are going on. We're in a cultural convulsion right now. You need to know and to understand that just going to church is not going to get you where you want to go in God. And it won't cause you to be who God has called you to be. But at some level, you've got to get the law of God down inside the man, down inside the woman. You've got to become what the Word of God has called you to be. It's got to be more than just showing up to church religion. It's got to be more than just riding on somebody else's prayer. It's got to be more than enjoying the fellowship of the people. It's got to be a relationship with God. If I'd have told you last year there'd have been a period of about 6 months where we couldn't go to the house of God, you would have thought I lost my mind. Let me tell you, the end time is coming, and the times of the end are on us, and you better have this deep down inside. Somebody give God some praise and magnify him. Anybody here want to know God? Anybody here want to be God's people in the end time? Anybody want to be effective? Anybody want to go down to Shiloh and find out what God has to say? So they never possessed the land. They never took the land that God had promised to Abraham. Which is, they never did the heavy lifting. They were lazy, and they never possessed everything that God had for them. So now they've been drifting, and it's been 3 centuries. And now the word to them is just kind of a vestigial fog. It's rumors and traditions and indulgences and rationalizations and blends with all the pagan things around them. It's like Christianity in America. That's what Christianity in America is. It's vestigial, blurry ideas left over from some contact somebody had with the Word of God. But it's the blending of the external culture, the dominating culture of the world, mixed in and blurred in. And there used to be a biblical definition. When Lincoln's giving his Gettysburg Address, he quotes from the Word of God, and everybody that hears it knows that it's the Word of God. But if you ask school kids today about an idea whether or not a house divided against itself could stand, if they knew any history at all, they would say, that's Lincoln. They wouldn't say that's Lincoln quoting Jesus because they don't understand it anymore. There used to be a biblical distinction. There used to be an identification of sin. But now, nothing is sin in America anymore. And pulpits have grown silent about things that the Word of God still speaks about. And I want you to know, Jim, I don't mean to, I know this should be all light and fluffy and little bunny rabbits and flowers and sweet music because we're dedicating a baby, but what kind of world, what kind of house, what kind of family do you want those babies to grow up in? Do you want them to have what the world is spewing out every day and the effect of it and the results of it? Or do you want them to have what the Word of God can do in their life and promise in their lives? You can find a church today, Cornelius, you can find yourself a church today that will let you marry Jermaine. Oh no, he's already married. No, it wouldn't matter. Oh, you mean he's a guy? We're long since past that. You can find churches that'll have a big wedding. apostle, and the media's on board, and Hollywood is on board, and the whole culture's on board, and you look like a mean toad if you're not clapping, and it's the emperor's new clothes. He's naked as he can be, going down Main Street, but everybody's just going. Those are beautiful clothes. Those are beautiful clothes. It's a guy and a guy, for crying out loud. They can't get married. But they can in 2020 in America. And they can do it in a church. And they can have the sanction. And all the millennials that work with you, they would think you were a toad if you ever raised an eye. I can see your eyebrows. I can't see your mouth. But I can see while you're wearing your burqa there that can see your eye. But if you ever looked up and acted in any way other than, oh, it's the most beautiful thing in the world, people loving people, it's the most beautiful thing in the world, they would think you were a toad. And they would perhaps ostracize you. And you could get fired. Yeah, I got that. You could lose. So the pressure is on to conform with the world and become like they want you to become. And it's anti-Word of God, and it's anti-Christ, and it's anti-Judeo-Christian, and it's anti-morals, and it's anti-biological. You are not a girl, Jermaine. Well, if Hadley wants to be called she, her, Shem, you wouldn't call him that? Sister Hadley? Mrs. Hadley? Ms. Hadley? You wouldn't call him that? Michael, would you call him that? Well, you're very disrespectful. You're not loving. You're not kind. And Jesus was loving and kind. They never read where Jesus sat down outside the temple and took his time and braided a whip. And then went in and beat the daylights out of everybody in the house. Not because they were talking about heavyweight things like this, but because they were selling stuff in the temple. Beat them, turned their tables over, kicked them out, ran them out of that place. I'll tell you about kind, loving Jesus. Kind, loving Jesus is the one that rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. No, that was the Old Testament God, the hard, the unfeeling God. This is kind, loving New Testament Jesus. Well, surprise, surprise, they are one and the same, my friend. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And he doesn't change. And his word is forever settled in the heavens. And what was true back in the day of Micah and his mama is true in the word of God today. Somebody say praise the Lord. We live in a world that's abjectly confused about morals and ethics and biology and why. It's because they've come untethered from the word of God. And they're out there wandering around in some amorphous thing. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And they have no idea where they are being led. They have no idea where the outcome is going to lead them. But in those days, there was no king in Israel, no ruling authority, no accepted universal ideal, no absolutes, no laws. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. It's 300 years, and they have not yet conquered their inheritance. They haven't possessed the land. For unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. They are 300 years into it. They are generations deep in not possessing what God made available. When you don't possess what God made available, you lead your succeeding generations into absolute spiritual chaos. It is a mandate to you that you do and be and become as God has commanded. You have an inheritance. You have a promise from God. Well, it's not just on you. It's on your babies and on their babies. And before we get to a place that's 300 years off, friend of mine, you could have built them a platform to stand on and live on and bring forth the kingdom in their lives. But Dan has not possessed. And the children of Dan sent five men from their coast, men of valor from Zorah, from Eschatol, to spy out the land and search it. And they said unto them, go, search the land. Who, when they came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah, they lodged there. And they don't remember the story, but the land had been spied out 300 years before in the days of Moses. And then again in the days of Joshua. And the land was already theirs, but they're operating in the dark. And when they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice. Somebody in the crowd recognized the voice of that Levite. And they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought you here? And what are you making in this place? And what have you here? He said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. So they're in the house of an imitation priest with an imitation word of God in an imitation house of God. Nothing is real. And they said, ask God's counsel for us. Tell me which way I should go. I just need somebody to affirm what I already have in my mind. And so he's gonna tell them, go in peace before the Lord. Before the Lord is your way wherein you go. So the priest, who was not a priest, gave them a word which was not the word of God in a house that was not the house of God. And they were happy with it. And he was happy because he's getting paid to do this gig. And they are happy because he just told them, God's with you where you go. And that's all people really want to hear. They just want a little pat on the back. And they want to hear what they want to hear. And you don't really want to hear me talk about sin. I should have just done the fuzzy bunnies and the pretty music and a flower arrangement or something. And I should have just said, Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. And I should have just sung a little happy children's song, and then we could have just patty caked for Jesus, and we could have just all gone. I don't know. Are you going somewhere afterward to eat? You're not? Oh, you're going to go to your house to eat. You inviting anybody? Oh, your family. Quarantine family. Okay. No corona zone. Then the five men departed, came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, and they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians. So they found a place called Laish, and they are going to take this place from the residents there, and they say, for God hath given it unto our hands. It's a place where there's no want of anything that is in the earth. And so they co-opt God for their purposes, and they bring God down into their plan. And why is God here? God's here because I'm here, and because this is what I want. And that's what they did with God. They made God their own personal little pan-fried God, and that's like the teraphim, the little gods in their houses. And so when they came back to conquer this place called Laish, they stopped by the not house of God, and where the not word of God was and the not priest was, and they stopped and they said, hey, we're going to go conquer this place up here, and we're going to build a city. Why don't you come with us, and you can be our priest? And would you rather be the priest for one guy, Micah, or would you rather be a priest for a whole tribe? And the priest, who is not a priest, said, oh, no question. I'd rather be a priest for the whole tribe. So they loaded up all Micah's gods, all the false gods, and his false priest, and his little false house, and they just took it all with him. That's the problem with serving a false god. People come through and take your stuff. Come through and take your God. Then you're just kind of like, and that's what happens to Micah. And when they're down the road a ways, Micah got his neighbors and he went running after them and he said, what are you doing? And they said, well, we came and they said, you better be quiet or we'll kill you. And he said, well, this is all I have though. What will I do? And they said, well, that's your problem. But we've got more of us than there are of you. And they stole his God and they stole his priest and they stole his church and they took it all away. And Dan had no recourse. Now, a word to these babies. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we are living in that day. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. This also know that in the last days perilous times, dangerous times shall come. But men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's why you have between 800,000 and a million abortions every year, without natural affection. When a mama dog will bite you over her puppies, but a mama human will let you take her baby and put it in a sewer. Natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They have a form of religion. They have a form of church, but it's a not church with a not priest and a not word of God. But you better find your way to Shiloh and you better find out where the word of God is, and you better take counsel of the word of God and see if there's not a word for your day. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, those were the sorcerers of Pharaoh. So do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Praise God. Praise God. I want to do something that I want these families that are shell-shocked and unsure right now to bring their babies, come down to the, if you've got a baby to dedicate, I want you to bring them and come stand at a respectful social distance. Got to wait for Rachel up in the cheap seats. There they come. Gia, Gia, Gia. You know when this scripture I'm about to give you, you know when it's used most commonly? It's used for ordination services. It's used when they're ordaining preachers. I'm not calling you to preach, not in the conventional sense, but I am calling you to preach today, because you've got precious cargo in your arms, and you are responsible not only for her life, but you're responsible for her soul. You're not only responsible for her choices. When she's an adult, she'll go her own way. But the scripture says, train her up in the way she should go, and when she's old, she won't depart from it. And so, I'm going to ordain you today to be a preacher in the life of these babies. Because they don't need, now if you've got family that wants to come and gather with you, we could do that, but Let's be careful. Rachel, you're going to be a preacher. And you're going to, and by the time she's 11 or 12, she's going to be, all right. What in the world? But she won't ever forget the sound of her mama's voice. This is Paul talking to, this is like the United Nations here. Gino. Lorenzo, you are Sicilian and Irish. Are you having internal conflict already? And in the group, Sicilians and Mexicans. Mexilians or Sicicans? Okay. I'm going to make a preacher out of you today, okay? You going to preach to these guys? All right. So, I charge thee means I'm going to hold you accountable before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that's the living and the dead, at his appearing and in his kingdom. Preach the word. Now, that's something they ordain preachers with. But you know what? I've been doing this a little while now, and I've never been able to lift a kid up higher than the level of the parent and what that parent's impact has been on that child. The only way I can do that is if that kid has separated from his parental influence. It's especially pernicious if the parent is a churchgoer, or if the parent goes to an apostolic church. Preach the word, not some local mythology, not some cultural idea that's come to you from outside. Preach the word. That's what this baby needs to attain to what God has for him. That's what she needs. Kingston, you're so tall. It's amazing. How did that happen? Oh, it just grow, he said. Be instant, in season, out of season. That means you got to be ready to preach, throw down anytime, like right now. Because you don't know. You don't know what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. And you don't know when the enemy's going to reach into your house. And the world's going to come knocking on your door. You have no idea. So you've got to be ready to preach the word. And I know you know the word because I was in your house for 15 years teaching home Bible study. It wasn't that long, was it? Seemed, the bubble over his head just said it seemed like it. In your old house, that's right. I've never been to your new house. Preach the word instant, in season, out of season, always ready, and pull it out. I know it's in you because we've gone through the whole thing from Dan to Beersheba. It's down inside of you. Preach the word. Rachel, you've been around this all your life. Don't forget it. Don't let her forget it. Plant it deep down inside her heart. And this is where it gets a little dicey. Reprove. Rebuke. That means when they're out of line, you have to tell them they're out of line. That means when it's time to slap a hand, you have to slap the hand. That means when it's time to rattle a fanny, you got to do that. Although it doesn't work very well with the big fluffy diapers. You know what he just told me with his eyes? He's, you talking to me? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah. So reprove, rebuke. Do you ever raise your voice?
No.
No. She nodded yes. You. I don't even ask you. You're Sicilian. Do you ever? No. Okay. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So you're not only holding them down, but you're exhorting them. You're edifying them. You're lifting them up by the word of God. You're building them up by the word of God. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to get this at school. And they're not going to get this out at work. And they won't get it out in the community. If they're going to get it, it's going to be your hand. It's going to be your voice. It's going to be your will against the will of everything around them. The time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You ever had a dog? Did your dog like to be scratched? You know how when you scratch them here, they shake that. They like to be scratched on their ears, don't they? People like that too. People like to be told what they like and what they want to hear. And that's how it is with the Word of God. Folks don't want to hear what the book really says anymore. But if you're going to be the dad and you're going to be the mom and you're going to carry the mail and you're going to be the godly influence in this life, then you've got to rebuke and reprove and instruct in all righteousness. And they shall turn away their ears from truth and be turned into fables. And that's exactly what happened with the family there, with Micah and his mom and the Danites and all of those Jews 300 years from Moses and Joshua. They forgot the word of God. And they separated themselves from the word of God. And then they were like, the scripture says, without vision, the people perish or they wander aimlessly. Praise God. So, you don't want to do that. You want to be bastion of the word of God. All right, I've got three little Bibles here. Good thing. I've got a blue one and two pink ones. And so the blue one is you, because we're a male chauvinist society. And we still make a distinction. And we're not going to let you figure out if you want to be a boy or a girl. We're going to proclaim you a boy by the God-given biology. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I am talking to you. And a pink one for a girl, because she's a girl. And he's a boy. And we got all that straight. Well, how do we get that? From the Word of God. From the Word of God. And somebody might say, well, why are you making a big deal over that? Why? We're not budging on that. Well, what have you budged on? You need to be really careful, because when the world starts leaving breadcrumbs for you, you have no idea where it's going to lead you. And something that may just look like an innocuous breadcrumb here might lead you to a place where you don't know the difference between a boy or a girl. And you don't want to get there. Don't start picking up the breadcrumbs. Pink one for the girl. You already have yours. And a pink one for Gia, because she's going to be a great gal in the kingdom of God. What I'd like you to do is stand all over the house right now. Extend your hand toward these families. And I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray God's strength and blessing on them right now. Will you raise him up in the way he should go? Will you give him the word of God? Will you take care of this little Bible and the Bible down in his heart? Will you commit yourself to be a house full of the things of God, prayer and the word of God? Will you lead him in all the ways that he should go? Praise God. Will you do it, JP? Will you do it, Natalie? Will you lead this baby girl in the way she should go? Will you teach her the word of God? Will you exemplify the things of God in your home so she can follow after you and find her way? She's going to be following breadcrumbs too. She's going to be following handfuls on purpose that you leave for her. And she's going to love you, oh my goodness, like these boys love their mamas. Little girls love their daddies. She's going to wrap you so tight around that little finger of hers. And you're going to have so much influence with her. Use it wisely. Use it wisely. Will you do that? Will you make a house where they can hear the voice of God and follow after the things of God? Will you build a life that they can emulate and draw close to God? Praise God. Rachel, will you do that? Will you continue to be the godly woman that you are? And will you continue to bring the word of God into your home? And can she follow you and find the door of heaven? Can she follow you and know the way to God? Can she follow you and know how to pray and know how to find the things of God? Will you do that? Will you keep that little Bible for her? She's not. Are you reading yet? Yeah? Uh-huh. In a little bit, she'll be able to open that book and read from it. But right now, she's depending on you to tell her the truth. Would you extend your hand toward them once more? Let's pray for them. Mighty God, bless these families, bless these babies, strengthen these houses. Give them, oh God, everything they have need of. Bless them in body, bless them in spirit, bless the work of their hands, bless the way that they go. Give them wisdom and understanding and knowledge, God. Help them to build up their house and to build up the house of God. Cause them, oh God, to hear your voice. Mighty God, stir them to draw close to you and to be alive in your kingdom. And we pray that you would do it all in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. Let's give God a little bit of praise and let's magnify him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Mighty God, we pray your hand of blessing for you right now. Strengthen her and bless her. Prosper her in body and in spirit in all that she does, oh God. Bless her life. Cause her to know your voice. Cause her to hear your voice. Cause her to follow after your spirit. Bless her abundantly, oh God, in all that she does. Bless her home. Bless her mother and dad. Cause her, mighty God, to be a child of God all the days of her life. Do it in Jesus' name. Mighty God, mighty God. Lord God, bless and strengthen Lorenzo.
That's what we call you.
Oh God, that you would prosper. To love you. Some praise in the house today. Oh, let's give him a little high praise. Come on, worship God. Worship God. Hope that you have a wonderful family time on this Sunday evening. We won't have church tonight, but it is so good to be with you on a Sunday morning. I want to give some air hugs to these families and these babies and give them a nice wave or something when they go by, but welcome them and celebrate with them. So glad to be a part of what God is doing in all these lives. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday.